We welcome back to the show and the studio, place that was his radio home for many years, our old friend Pat Speckhard. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, Richard. How are you?
Wonderful. Nice to see you again.
It is surreal to be back in this building. I actually didn't know whether or not I would do radio again, even just for a segment.
Well, you've been on with us before a couple times in the past. You've stopped by.
I have, but it's been years.
It has, since we've coerced you to come on, but you were a big part of everything that went on here when this was the Sports Zone back in the day. When did you begin?
I began 2 days after the 1999 Maine Hockey National Championship.
Wow.
I was out in Anaheim with another Sports Zone alum, Brian DeMori, broadcasting that game for the University of Maine campus radio station. And we flew back, and I got almost no sleep because it was a red eye back from Anaheim.
Right. And then you set that snowmobile on fire on campus and what? No.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. And then the next day, I sat in with Dan Hannigan and Wayne Harvey.
Ah.
Basically ghosting on hang time and started doing board op stuff then. But I'd been interning, but nothing official, but I had actually been hired in my first actual day was 2 days after the Maine Hockey 99 wow. championship.
Wow.
And then I was here for a few years, had a little brief foray and dalliance with a company out of Portland, and then came back just in time for the Red Sox to win the World Series in 2004,
right.
which I watched in this very studio.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow.
I was actually on the controls here in the studio when the ball got chopped back to Folk.
Wow.
And I almost touched the ceiling a couple of times.
How bad? Yeah, the room is, it has not changed a great deal since those days, 25
Slightly
years ago.
Slightly different configuration.
Well, I think the board was the way it should be. It was the other way around, so you could see people as they come in the door.
Yeah, the board was here where I am.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. The board was here where I am. The computer that we use. We're peeling back the curtain.
Yes. Oh, yes.
To let people know what this all looks like.
Yeah.
Where all of our sound clips were was here to my left, and the computer where all of the commercials and everything that actually ran the thing. I mean, let's
right,
be honest.
Right.
That ran most of it was to my right.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, we've got a similar setup, like this computer on my left that has all our commercials and then sound and music and everything like that. Most of that's on this computer on my right. We record everything because I'm weird. I'm obsessive. I have on a hard drive, I have all 3,295 episodes of this show.
Oh,
every interview, you know, 20,000 interviews that we've aired. I have all of them somewhere. So basically, even without a radio station, like I can just keep this going. I can play an interview a day, well, long past the time I'm dead. So,
well, why don't you do that?
Well, I may have to do that. And as I told you, we still have your voice on the intro to Alan's Pass the Popcorn segment.
Which I am surprised by, because you should have found somebody with more talent.
No,
by now.
That was a conscious choice. We said we need to keep Pat part of what we do, because you were on the ground floor with Downtown when we started that back in the day.
I'm very proud of that.
Yeah.
One of the...
You were the only one that won any awards for the show.
No, wait. That's not exactly the case, because I seem to recall that in the interim, since I've left here, a couple of Sportscaster of the Year awards have gone your way.
Oh, yes, there's those. But I always think that's more for Maine football than it is for doing this.
Well, this has to be part of it.
It might be. Well, we don't do much sports here anymore, though.
But you do enough.
Enough. But you won a couple of MAB awards for some wonderful things you put together. I also remember a show you did, and it didn't last very long, but two terrific shows. One you did here on Sunday mornings, which was a fantastic show.
The Sunday Buffet,
yes,
I believe it was
called.
That
was great.
Yeah, no, those were some long weeks.
Well, yeah,
let me
I can
tell
imagine.
You, doing the afternoon show. But yeah, I was part of three different afternoon shows here. Three?
Three?
There was Hang Time, there was The Huddle, when Scott Sassone.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Scott Sassone and Chris Charette and I were all doing a show for a while. And then The Shoot Around.
Wow. Yeah, you were Mr. Afternoon there.
I was.
But the Sunday show.
I don't know why, but.
But you kind of raised the bar, I think, on that Sunday show with the caliber of guests that you were able to get on board.
I was very lucky that there were some very notable Maine and New England sportscasters, broadcasters, biographers that would take my call. And frankly, I threw around Stephen King's name a lot. Saying that he owned the station, and believe me,
I've done that.
Yeah, that opened the doors some, but yeah, it's, you know, Tom Caron. I'm going to start with him because this is the one that sticks in my head. Ghosted me 3 times.
Ooh,
yeah, but that's okay.
Hmm.
Tom's a little too important for me, which that's not the. I'm not going to deny that. But no, Chad Finn would come on and do the show frequently. And of course, he's a frequent guest on this show. Just an amazingly talented gentleman. University of Maine alum. He actually even helped out when doing the things at the campus radio station.
Oh, yeah.
Chad would help out because of the UMaine connection and all that. Gary Thorne helped us out coming on. So tried to find some people with some Maine connections that opened the door. And I think sort of the way that you built up some of the guest list for downtown, once you get one person who does it, likes it,
right?
They vouch for you.
Right. You got to get Gary Tangway opened his Rolodex to me for downtown and said, I'll get him once for you, but you got to keep them. And you do that by making a good experience, being prepared and having them want to come back.
Yeah. And that's obviously everybody knows the news of what's happening in about a week. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to stop in.
Well, you had a very eloquent post today about your time here and what it meant to you.
Thank you. Yeah. And there was a lot of really good things that happened here. And a lot of it is unfortunately going to be forgotten when this frequency goes dark in a couple of weeks. Not immediately, but it's going to happen. And that's sad. I mean, this is what I went to school to do.
Well, and radio is such an ephemeral thing. You know, it's out there in the ether and then it's gone. It's gone. Yeah. And nobody, it's not like a book that you can go pull it off the shelf and go, wow, this was from 20 years ago. It's still pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are other stations in this area that are still doing some live, some local. This radio group was the last, I think, and I could be wrong about this, was the last to do it so completely.
Mm.
You know, obviously on the ZON side of things, we were live in the morning, we were live in the afternoon, we were live doing some local sports at night, but there was a lot of national that came in between. Overnights, obviously, we weren't local.
Right.
Middle of the afternoon, middle of the day, we weren't local. But nobody did the volume of games we did.
No.
Nobody's even come close to doing the volume of games we're doing now. There are stations out there that are doing a wonderful job. I'm not going to name drop them because I forget if the rules say we can or not. but you know who you are.
Yeah. Well, the ticket does a ton of games and
Chris
WDA.
Popper and the guys down east. Yeah, exactly. Those are the ones that I'm talking about.
Yeah, and part of that, you know, Jim was here. He remembered how it was done here and has taken that and let it grow.
Yep, exactly. And so there are still people out there who are doing it and doing it very well. But I don't think anyone is doing it to the extent that we did. And I will, as I said in my post earlier today, you sitting across from me right now, and Dan Hannigan, I went to school to do this. I was, in hindsight, so arrogant to think of how well I could do this, and then to just be absolutely floored by the effortless talent of some of the people that worked here, including you. And including Dan Hannigan. I will, for the rest of my life, listen on the radio and compare people to you and Dan.
Well, I would compare them to Dan because that man, he's brilliant. And nothing Dan couldn't do. We've talked about it before, on the air, off the air. The musical promos, if you guys did nothing else except those musical promos
for Maine hockey,
yeah, that's enough to get you, for my money, into any Radio Hall of Fame. They were brilliant.
And I thank you for bringing me up on that. That was 95% him, and I'm not gonna deny that, because all the music was him. He played all the music for it. He would come in here after doing the show on Mondays and would go in the recording studio for KIT down the hall. With a drum set if there were drums,
yeah.
or piano that he recorded at his house, or a guitar.
Oh, I've told this story because I would do some occasional, I would write some song parodies mm-hmm. knowing that Dan could supply the music for them.
Yeah.
And I came in one day. Do you remember the Stat Man?
Yeah.
The Sox hired this guy they called the Stat Man. So I came in, I go, Dan, I got this great idea for a parody about the Stat Man, and we're going to do it to the tune of the Beatles' I Am the Walrus. And he looks at my lyrics and he goes, oh, yeah, 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 this can work. All right, we're going to need some time. Because we're each going to have to sing 8 different versions. What are you talking about? Well, to make it sound like the Beatles. I'm like, what do I have to sing? He goes, yeah, 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 sound like the. So we went in the recording studio down there, and it was literally, all right, do your first part. I am the Stat Man. Okay, now you got to get down a half step. I am the Stat Man. I am the Stat Man. And I'm like, and all of a sudden, 2 days later, he's got these vocals and his keyboard stacked, and I go, you turned us into the freaking Beatles. Holy crap, Dan. How did you do that?
The way those musical parodies started, it was before the season, and he just walked into the studio one day singing The Music Man, singing Trouble from The Music Man.
Nice.
And he just kept saying, Trouble with a capital T that rhymes with P that stands for Pooley. Because Paul Pooley was the head coach for and he said, when we get to that week this year, I'm going to sing that song.
Oh, my God. I love it.
And it took off from that.
Wow. Yeah. He was brilliant, Dan. But again, you guys were a great team together. That afternoon show was so great.
But even think about the talent that moved on from here and kept doing other media in Eastern Maine.
Mm.
Because, I mean, Dan went off and launched Cod Rock Media.
Yeah.
He and Eric Fried. Everything you've done. I mean, TV and radio, everything mm-hmm. you've done mm-hmm. in your career. Oh, yeah. Wayne Harvey, all of his years on TV.
Yeah. And radio.
Yeah. Rob Poindexter.
Yeah.
Central Maine Bureau Chief for Channel 5.
Yeah.
Plenty of years doing that. I mean, a lot of talent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Came through here. And we haven't mentioned Dale and Clem, the juggernauts of morning sports radio for
Dale's
years and years.
We have sweater here, which someone's going to get custody of in a week, if you'd like it.
The amount of hours that Dale and Clem spend here, I half think when I come in here, like for the infrequent guesting appearances that I've done on here, that I'm going to walk down the hall and Clem is somehow still going to be in the office.
Oh, I think Dale is still on a call down the hall in his office because he would be on the phone for 11 hours a day somehow and still get stuff done.
Yeah, I don't know how anybody worked as many hours as they did, even, but... Again, it's just a lot of really good memories here. I wanted to come back. I wanted to see the studio again.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you know. You're going to come back next Tuesday, right, for our big finale?
That's the plan.
All right. We're having a party, the blowout, on the 31st as we burn this sucker down, figuratively, figuratively, not literally. So, yeah, I hope you'll be here to be part of it.
Yeah, and I do want to, I am going to shout out one other person for no reason, except for the fact that he walked by here a couple of times. Jeff Solari. Who I did the shoot around with.
Yeah, Jeff, a big part of it too back
Absolutely.
In the day. Absolutely.
Yeah. I enjoyed working with him. I still keep in touch with him. Speaking of talent, I mean, he's moved on.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a proud local business owner.
Right, right.
Several areas.
Knew enough to get out of radio, as you did too. Yeah. Me, yeah, I'm still here. Thank you, Pat.
Well, it's because when people like listening to you,
like
you, they keep you around.
I see. All right. Hey, thanks, Pat. Good to see you.
Thank you, Richard.
Go see Pat. If you're going to buy a car, first of all, number one, there's no better car than Subaru. It's all I've had for years. And Pat, never going to steer you wrong, going to get you a good deal, but going to take care of you. I have made deals with Pat. I've not done this, could not do this with anybody else. I bought a car with Pat once. The entire exchange took place through text messages because Pat knew what I wanted. Took care of me, made it happen.
And if I remember correctly, you actually signed the paperwork for that deal in the studio during the show.
I did, right here.
Yeah.
Boom, there you go. Pat Speckhart, everybody. It's 18 after the hour. We got to take a break. Alan Adams talking movies right after this on Downtown.